Hi there, my name's Nessie, and you probably got here from my blog, which is nessiemon.com. This is an interview that I did with Beth Jeans Houghton for goldenplaque.com, and you can read the whole thing on goldenplaque.com, and I decided to put the audio up on my own blog, nessiemon.com. So here it is. Hi Beth, how's it going?
Hello, good, how are you?
I'm not bad. Listen, thanks a million for taking the time out, I really appreciate it. First question, I'm going to be up front with you. Is there any question that you don't want me to ask?
Is there any question?
Yeah, that you don't want me to ask you.
Not that I can think of.
That's okay.
If there's something, I'll just say next question.
That's all right. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Right, first question, or I suppose first thing I have to ask you, your bio on Facebook, for somebody who doesn't know you and doesn't know your music, who wrote that? Because that's just a work of genius.
Which one is it? The Wolves one?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, me and my drummer wrote that when we were a bit drunk.
It really is. It really is a work of...
Thank you.
When you see your music and your music, okay... I think you might be getting a little bit labelled with the folk thing, but you're not really folk.
Thank you.
You're not really folk at all. But when I see that you're writing stuff like this as well, it's more of a fantasy kind of a genre that you've created.
Yeah, I guess so. Newcastle's a boring place.
But there's some good stuff happening in Newcastle, though. There's like Amazing Radio. Do you know those guys over there?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, no, I was kidding. Newcastle's a great place. But I just mean, I guess I'm just inclined that way mentally. I think we're all, you know, I think we've all sort of grown up reading stories and, I don't know, having an imagination, I guess.
Exactly. True. The album came out a couple of months ago. Are you happy with how it has been received now that it's out in the world and it has had a little life of its own?
Yeah, I don't know because I don't take any notice. I don't really know how it's been received. But I'm happy with it. But I don't really know, you know, how well it's doing or anything. I guess it doesn't really matter to me how well it's doing. Just as soon as it's recorded and released and I'm happy with the record, then sort of I feel like I'm done with that. I'm happy to tour it and I don't, you know, really don't sort of I neither need nor really want other people's opinions on it. Does that make that sounds awful?
But, no, you know, it doesn't because what do you personally view success as? Do you view success as being able to get out there and play your music to people, or is it like a number one?
I see success as whatever makes you happy. Like I heard a rude quote my friend told me the other day that Bob Dylan had said something like if you wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night and do what you want in between, then that's success. And I kind of feel that that's the case. And, you know, I feel like success to me would be releasing records until I die. But then again, you know, some point in the future, I may not want to do music anymore. I might want to paint or something like that. So I guess just success is, you know, creating things and letting them go, but being happy with the I don't really want to say product because I don't really make it as a product, but you know, with the final thing. And I don't really it's easy for me to say what I don't see success as. I don't really see it as dependent on, you know, how much money you make or how many people hear it or even how many people like it. None of that really affects me, and I'd rather not know what people think, because even though I don't want to make any records that sort of are accustomed to people's tastes, also I'm a human, so hearing or reading that stuff could subconsciously affect it, and I want to avoid that as well.
That's fair enough. You mentioned a good point there about like that you might want to paint or something else in the future.
Yeah.
I think that happens with a lot of people. It's like you can be creative, but music is only one element of everything that's a part
exactly.
of you.
Yeah, and I mean, I made art and did photography before I even, you know, thought I was ever going to be a musician. So I started music when I was 16. And since then, I haven't really made a whole lot of art, but I spent the last 2 weeks painting, and it was just really nice to, you know, I don't mean get away from music as in I don't like it anymore, but, you know, have something else to be excited about. And then when I go back to the music, it's new again and exciting. And I think it's good to have different endeavors, especially because I've got a very short attention span.
When you were 18, like, you supported Bon Iver, like, when something happens like that, I mean, he's so fantastic. Like, when something happens to you at that age, is it like, do you find like other people's expectations on you when you're that young?
I guess so. But then again, I mean, I've never really sort of listened to what other people say. I guess, the biggest expectations are from me. Like, you know, the most pressure I feel is not from, you know, an audience or my label or my band or anything. It's from me. Like, I'm probably the one person who wants to, and when I say success again, I mean like to what makes me happy, but be successful in the way that I feel. Like, I'm the one out of everyone who most wants everything to work so that I can release records and have complete creative control. And, you know, like, I don't want to be rich, but to be able to live, you know, in an okay way off music, in such a way that, you know, you don't need a second job to pay the bills, then, you know, that's all I really strive for, which, you know, it's really difficult to even do that. So, you know, I'm by no means rich and I'm terribly in debt, but at least I'm happy and at least I can release records. I know that a lot of people want to and can't, so I appreciate how lucky I am in that sense.
When did you get the band together to play with you?
Around about the time, probably when I was 16 or 17. They've been playing with me for about five years now. So a long time ago, according to me, because I'm young.
And why do you use your name and the Hooves of Destiny? It's very dramatic, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, initially it was just me, and then, you know, we decided that the guys really needed a name, because, you know, like a lot of people will have a band but just, you know, just have their name on it. And even though, you know, I write all of the songs and a lot of the parts and stuff, I still feel like they are part of the project in their own right, and it wouldn't be the same without them. You know, they're not just like session musicians who, you know, just get told exactly what to do and all this stuff. Like, they have like input on their parts and stuff, and everyone kind of discusses each other's parts. And so even though I write the songs, you know, they're my best friends, and I wouldn't be swapping them for better musicians or anything. Like, they are sort of integral characters in the whole project. So I thought it was important for them to have a name. And the Hooves of Destiny kind of just came up by accident. It was a misheard lyric. And it's kind of a joke to begin.
It works.
Yeah.
So you said there at the beginning that like Newcastle was a little bit dreary, and, you know, well, there's a low, put it this way, the UK and Ireland are just like covered in rain, okay?
Yeah.
But you've been spending a lot of time in LA. Have you found that the LA sunshine and the way of life has, I suppose, changed or affected the way that you approach your music?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess like experiences that I've had in LA will contribute towards the music that I make for the next record and stuff, but, you know, I always feel like it's not really the place that I'm in, that it's more the, you know, the experiences I have and the people that I know that influence my music, you know, the situations I'm in or stuff like that. And, you know, those situations can kind of happen anywhere. I'm a lot happier when I'm in LA because of the weather. So that, I guess, may have some kind of effect on it, but I wouldn't say it's a major role in the whole thing.
You've been spotted out once or twice or a couple of thousand times by the paparazzi. Does that piss you off? Getting popped all the time?
I just ignore it.
It must be, I don't want to ask you about your personal life because that's your personal life, but it must be, you know, like, it's none of our business, but it must be just really frustrating if you can't even go to like a basketball game, or if you can't even go to the bloody shop, but you're on the front page of some website. So
it's not really a problem. And also I kind of ignore all of that.
Well, fair play to you if you can, because I would hit somebody.
Yeah.
On the album, you worked with Ben Hiller. Why did you decide to work with Ben?
I guess he was just most interested, and he just had really good sort of vibes about him. And, you know, obviously it's important to work with someone who is capable of, you know, doing something good, but also it could all go terribly wrong if you don't get along with the person. And Ben's one of the, you know, nicest, down-to-earth and honest people that I've ever met. And I really appreciate the honesty, because in a business like this, you know, there's a lot of backhandedness and kind of, you know, people saying one thing but doing something else. So yeah. It was really great to work with Ben, who, you know, a lot of people, I think, you know, hold back on saying things to me because they think I'll get upset because I'm young and female, which is total bollocks. Like, I don't feel like that's the case at all. But Ben, you know, will be blunt and say, that sounds terrible. And I appreciate that, because, you know, then you can actually work from that. But if someone's going, oh, yeah, it sounds great, and they're telling everyone else it sounds terrible, then, you know, you're not going to get the results that you want. So, yeah, honesty and bluntness. And he's just a really good hard worker, and he really, you know, believes in the music. And, you know, it was a complete faith thing. Like, he did, you know, I think that, yeah, he just did it because he really liked the money. I mean, sorry, the music, and he wasn't in it for the money. And I think, you know, that's always a blessing. I don't think I could have gotten anyone else on his level if they were in it for the money. So I appreciate that.
You're back over in the UK, and you're doing a ton of gigs this summer. And you're coming to Ireland then in September. Have you ever been in Ireland before? Have you ever gigged in Ireland before?
Yeah, we did. And I'm terrible. I can't remember if it was Dublin or Belfast. But it was really good. I really loved the people there. They kind of have, they're just very friendly in a kind of, you know, sort of down-to-earth way. I guess, like, in a sort of honest way as well. And I like that you can have an honest conversation with someone. And it's, it's good fun.
What are your live shows like? What can we expect? I'm actually really looking forward now. After listening to the album, I'm really looking forward to seeing you live. Because there's so many layers of sounds in your music. I'm just looking forward to see how you can recreate, or do you try and recreate that life?
It changes song by song. I mean, there's certain songs that are easier to do live, like the record, and then there's some that are a bit more difficult. For instance, the ones that have a lot of strings and horns on, we use a sampler, because obviously it costs a shitload to have a string quartet.
Yeah, brass sections, yeah.
Other ones, we replace some of the instruments with instruments that we play, we do whatever sounds best live. We wouldn't try and emulate the record with certain songs if it didn't come across well live. So we've just kind of gone through them all one by one to see, you know, which comes across live like the record, or, you know, if we have to change it. And often we change songs month by month just so that we can keep playing with some kind of passion, because, you know, playing a song every night, it's easy to become, I guess, complacent with the music if, you know, just if you're on autopilot. So we like to sort of change things and around, and sort of, you know, have new ways of doing things, so we're still on our toes, I guess.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just, you know, running through the motions, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I like to avoid that. And I get tired of songs very quickly, again, because I've got a short attention span. So, you know, we'll change the style or the instrumentation or the structure, and you know, I think for an audience to enjoy it, we have to enjoy it as well. So,
if you have a short attention span, does that mean you write tons and tons of songs?
Yeah, I do. I kind of go through phases. Like, there'll be a month when I write like a whole record, and then there'll be a couple of months where I don't really write much. Or, yeah, I guess it just depends where I am at in my life. I don't really write when I'm happy.
I think we're all the same, though. You need some kind of something that makes you go grr, like, to
Yeah, exactly. I only ever write when I'm happy, if I'm like extremely happy. But, you know, that's very rare. And also when I'm happy, I'm kind of wanting to do other stuff that, that, you know, I'm enjoying. Whereas if I'm upset or heartbroken or whatever, that's when I'm, you know, in a room.
As long as you don't write an Adele album, you'll be fine if you're like that.
Oh, geez, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, to be honest, like, I feel like Yours Truly Self sounds like a relatively upbeat, happy album, but at the same time, if you listen to the lyrics, a lot of it's quite dark. Like, for instance, Lilliput sounds quite, you know, I guess like fast-paced and jolly in a sense, but really the lyrics are about leaving someone because you realise that you can't change them and, you know, and they can only help themselves. And, you know, that was a really sad sort of situation that I was writing about there, but yeah, it comes across as quite jolly. So there's different ways to do it, I guess, and see it.
So 2012, what do you hope to have done by the end of the year?
By the end of the year, I would like to have the next record, at least the beginning of the recording process started, and I want to be living in LA in 4 months' time. That's the time period I've given myself.
Awesome.
In November.
I love baseball. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and I live most of the time on LA time just because I watch all the games when they're live, and it's like, oh my God, it's good for insomnia. That's the only thing. When you're here, it's good for insomnia. Other than that, it's a nightmare. But
absolutely.
Listen, thanks a million for your time. It was lovely speaking to you, and I'll catch up with you when you're in Dublin, and we'll have another pint of Guinness.
Yes, I love Guinness. I love it.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. If you want to find out more about me and what I do, you can go to my blog, nessiemon.com, and why don't you subscribe to our little updates there. So until next time, thanks for listening. Talk to you then. Bye.